Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Final hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on this Tuesday afternoon. Congratulations, Logan winners. Logan has qualified for those Daytona 500 tickets that will be given away. The winner will be announced during the 5 o'clock hour on Friday. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. I kind of feel like Derek Mason. D-Mace is going to be on with us tomorrow for the show. If he was on, he'd probably be talking to our next guest about maybe a comeback, would be my guess. Super agent Lee Steinberg is on the line with us. We've always enjoyed our chats with him over the years. Out in L.A., host or the site of Super Bowl 56 that will take place this Sunday. Lee, how you doing?
I am doing just great.
If D-Mace was on here, I think he would. I think he would talk, especially after watching the Pro Bowl. I think he would definitely participate in the Pro Bowl because there's not much tackling going on there. So
doesn't have to hit anybody.
You know what? Yeah. They certainly have to modify somehow the way in which they're playing it because that wasn't much of a game. And if you've got players, some of whom are trying as hard as they can, some of whom are going half, it just doesn't lend for a really compelling piece of television.
How proud are you as an LA native to, you know, Southern California, to have that beautiful stadium in SoFi that we haven't been to yet, even though the Titans went out there and played the Rams this year on that Sunday night game and won, and then to have them hosting the Super Bowl? How proud are you?
It's like redemption, because back in 1994, when the Rams were thinking about moving to St. Louis, I put a committee together of about 125 businessmen, and I was chairman with the head of Disneyland of Save the Rams. So we fought really hard to keep them. I grew up falling in love with football from going to the L.A. Coliseum in the 50s and 60s with my father. I think the seats were about $1. And if you had a really powerful telescope, you could see some of the players down on the field. But I fell in love with football, and now we never stopped fighting to get a team back here. And now to have the Rams back is wonderful. And of course, we're doing our annual Super Bowl party, my 35th. And we have Sony Studios where actually we filmed part of Jerry Maguire.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that's one we've all seen. In fact, that one's been making the rounds here recently, I feel like. It's been coming back around on some of the movie channels we get. You stumble upon that. You can't not watch that, right, Lee? Once that comes on, you got to watch a little bit.
Well, what's funny is it's been 25 years, and that movie still plays almost every day, and people tell me, oh, I saw you and the rest of it, and I still have not been able to go out to dinner or walk through an airport really well without someone running up and saying those four words or asking me to say them to them, show me the. And it was quite an experience.
Yep, it's got staying power. I'm curious, you were talking about the L.A. market, and this is such an interesting way things have lined up that the Rams are playing in their new home stadium. We've been looking at the fan base, Lee, and talking about in terms of both the Chargers and the Rams, and how you try to build back that real loyal big fan base in such a big market. But it may be not as easy as it might appear from afar. Tell me how you think those teams have done so far in the baby steps they're taking.
Well, the Rams have done really, really well. And remember, there are 17 million people in the four adjacent counties here that can get to a stadium within 2 hours. And it's a little misleading, because when a popular team comes from out of town and you have tickets for a couple hundred dollars and they offer some of the local people $2,000, you know, they take it. But the truth is, the Rams were here in 1947. They had a big fan base before they left. I mean, they had a series of star quarterbacks. They had Eric Dickerson. And they've done a good job of building into the community. To make it in the L.A. market, you need about three or four things. First, you need to win, obviously. But second, you need a big star. We're a star city of, you know, Magic Johnson and Mike Trout and on and on. Third, you have to be colorful. And they've done all that. The Dodgers, for example, as a team, just opened up their doors because they marketed Los Angeles like it was Des Moines, Iowa. AAA nights, back-to-school nights, Boy Scout, Girl Scout. And the Rams are doing a lot of the same things. So you can still build. There's still real millions of people here that live real normal lives and love pro football. And now the Chargers have a much tougher job because they're new in the market and they come from another city. But they do have the star quarterback. And if they start winning, they'll garner fans quick.
We're talking to Lee Steinberg, super agent, joining us, of course, L.A. native. And Lee, I'm curious of, with a guy like Joe Burrow, the Bengals quarterback, I love watching him play football. Obviously had a tremendous career at LSU, winning the national championship, only two seasons into his pro career and has his team in the Super Bowl. You know, from a marketability standpoint, this kid's perfect because he's got that right mix of cockiness and confidence at the same time. But from an agent's point of view, how do you look at Joe Burrow as being a face for the NFL in the future?
That he's going to be a big national figure over time, because what the Super Bowl does is it transcends the narrow genre of hardcore football fans. People that never watch a game pay attention to this. They get caught up in it. And so you get an audience that's exponentially higher, and it's all week. So you have writers here in great numbers and Radio Row, and all they're doing is building up people. Well, he's a fresh face and a new story. We saw the same thing happen with our Patrick Mahomes when his first starting year and the second year, you know, they win the Super Bowl. And so, and what happens is if he performs dramatically and is interesting in interviews, then he goes into the celebrity-making machine that is People Magazine and late night talk shows, and you know, he's fresh faced, he's sort of interesting, he's a combination between being clean cut and having some swagger, right, with his cigars and his colored sunglasses. So he's got an amazing opportunity here, and I saw this work with Troy Aikman and Steve Young and Ben Roethlisberger and a lot of our clients over time. They got into the Super Bowl, and right after that, they exploded as national figures.
We're talking to Lee Steinberg. And Lee, your history and your experience with quarterbacks, and you just named a few of them like Troy Aikman and Steve Young. We've had, as you can imagine, when you fall short after a really good regular season, the quarterback position and the value of it. You've represented some superstars. That was, I don't know how easy it is for you or was for you, but in the salary cap world, everybody, of course, has to make that decision of what is the value of a quarterback if he's not a superstar, like a budding guy like Joe Burrow or an established guy like Patrick Mahomes. So in the case of a guy like Ryan, go ahead.
So if he's modular or fungible, so here's what you're looking for, a franchise quarterback. And when you find one, you have to hang on to it. And what that is someone you can win because of rather than with, someone you can build around for 10, 12 years, and someone who most importantly in critical situations where there's adversity, you know, the quarterback's thrown a couple interceptions in the game, the score's getting out of hand, the crowd's starting to boo, what does he do then? Can he compartmentalize, adopt a quiet mind, and elevate his level of play to take a team in critical situations? You saw that one weekend where all four playoff games came down to the very last play. So what does the quarterback do on that last drive? And that's what you're looking for. And if you've got one, you have to build your whole team around them. If you don't have one, then it becomes difficult because if you put massive amounts of guaranteed money against the cap and it doesn't work, then you have a lot of dead money and a team that can't quite get there.
Lee Steinberg is with us. And, you know, obviously here in Nashville, Derrick Henry, the focus of the Tennessee Titans, and the contract that he signed, a four-year, $50 million deal, about half of that is guaranteed. The running back position is always an interesting one to discuss because it just the shelf life is not very long. And we're all curious to see how Henry's going to bounce back after his injury that he missed a majority of the season. But what does a running back that is such a freak of nature like Derrick Henry do for that position and do for contracts moving forward?
So the quarterback's the most critical position. And for years, there were general managers who argued you could find a running back in the third or fourth round. They don't have long shelf life. Derrick Henry's the exception. Derrick Henry is a force of nature on the football field. And when he's clicking, that's a very hard defense that to try to stop him. So he's one of the people that transcends the position. I remember arguing years ago that Thurman Thomas was so much a part of the Buffalo Bill offense, he ought to be treated like a quarterback. And we didn't quite get there, but we got much more than running backs would get. And if I was working with Derrick Henry, I'd just argue, what percentage does he make up of the overall offense? What does he facilitate happening in the passing game because he's so dangerous? And, you know, you're going to bet that what some of these athletes are doing now is they're spending as much as $1 million off the field in the off season on nutrition, on massage, on hyperbaric oxygen, on light stem, on all these different things. So if he takes care of his body the way he seems to, granted, he plays a tough position, but he ought to have some longevity to him.
All right, Lee, before we let you go, your 35th annual Super Bowl party, and you're also selling your NFT for charity. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, NFTs, for people who don't know the terms, are pieces of art or photographs that you can buy and bid on and own, but you just own them to the extent they're in your computer. And we're trying to raise money for the Lantern Network that helps at-risk kids, inner-city kids, make it in the world of business. And so it's a little embarrassing to have something like that out there. But at the same time, all the money goes to charity, and that's what we do at our big party. We're also having an exhibit of things that can help the brain recover from concussions. So we've got a brain lounge, and the first hour of the party is a brain health summit.
Very, very cool. And then who wins, Bengals or Rams?
Oh, you're talking to somebody who grew up in the Coliseum watching the Rams. you know, I usually root for my clients, but when Mahomes went out, we have some Rams and very few Bengals. I have no conflict. I don't have, you know, acute agent schizophrenia on this one.
Very, very cool. Well, Lee, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much, and we'll do it again soon.
My pleasure.
Lee Steinberg, super agent, joining us. Always love the conversations with him, and has a lot of clients,
a lot of wisdom, a lot of history,
no doubt about it. Willie, why don't you tell us about Lee Company?
Okay, Lee Company, 615-567-1000, or go to leecompany.com. They've got the great system that works for you. Big sponsor of Nashville Predators hockey, and they do a fantastic job not only supporting the team but supporting all of you out there on the home maintenance plan. We've got it in our home. That's the yearly annual checkups for your heating, your cooling, your plumbing, and electrical systems. You want those always running efficiently and properly. The best way to do that is stay on top of it with the annual checkups. That's what the home maintenance plan gives you. So call and ask about it. Very small monthly fee. And then when you need repairs, if you're part of the maintenance plan, you get discounts on those repairs. 615-567-1000. Or leecompany.com. Lee Company, proud sponsor Nashville Predators.
Good stuff from Lee Steinberg. Appreciate him joining us. Looking for a place to hang tomorrow night to watch the Predators and the Stars as Preds get back to action. It'll be 8 days off, week off. You can go to our Bud Light Watch Party, which will be at Headquarters Beercade. They'll have drink specials. Plus, you can enter to win Preds tickets and watch the game. It's the Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade. Their exact location, 114 2nd Avenue South, downtown. Don't forget the puck drops at 7 o'clock. We'll have pregame at 6. Pretty interesting. Both quarterbacks were number one picks overall. And it was an interesting stat that I saw last night. Nobody's ever done what Joe Burrow's done. No number one pick overall quarterback has ever done what he's done, and that's get to the Super Bowl in their second year. And Matthew Stafford is the longest number one pick to get to the Super Bowl, which is pretty interesting as well. Hmm.
Meaning the guy that took the longest before he ever got there?
Right, the guy who took the longest before he eventually got there, correct.
How many times have two number one overall picks at quarterback started a Super Bowl?
Against each other?
Yeah.
That's a really good question. You try to think about the number one picks, you know, in the last 15, 20 years.
Peyton Manning and Cam Newton?
Peyton and Cam, that's probably it. You're probably right.
Cam? Wait a minute. Did Denver played?
They
Carolina?
They beat Carolina.
They beat Carolina.
Peyton Manning's last game.
Oh, so that was the game that was the Super Bowl they smoked him in East Rutherford.
No.
Okay. No?
No, that was a really close game. Remember Cam fumbled the ball and they got on Cam for not trying to get after the fumble.
And
that was a pretty close game.
He was a major diva afterwards in the press conference.
Oh, the loss is when they got smoked.
Yeah, to Seattle.
But
I think that's probably right. Peyton and Cam.
So Eli went against New England twice, so that we know that didn't. Because Eli was the number one pick overall.
Brady wasn't.
Drew Brees was the first pick in the second round. So you can't use him. Aaron Rodgers was a late first round pick. Mm-hmm.
I think this is only the second time.
None of the Elway Super Bowls, maybe?
Let's see. Elway.
That's a good one.
I don't think so, though.
Falcons, no.
No. Because that was Chris Chandler, wasn't it?
Yeah, Chris Chandler and Brett Favre were not first picks overall. Nope. Phil Simms was not a first pick overall.
Nope.
Doug Williams was not a first pick overall. Joe Montana was not a first pick overall. So, no. No one, Mr. Elway. I'm trying to think of some other first overall picks that made it. So, Peyton Manning went up against Drew Brees. He was obviously not a first overall.
Mm-mm.
Rex Grossman, Sexy Rexy, was not a first-round pick. Well, he was a first-round pick, but not a first overall.
Was Namath first overall?
May have been, but I don't think Earl Morrill was the first overall.
The question is
Mahomes wasn't the first overall,
so we know
that.
I wonder if that's the only other time.
Nothing's coming to mind. I mean, I don't know. I feel like those are the only two examples.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think
Bradshaw was first overall.
Was he?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of his four. Vince Ferragamo, Roger Staubach was not the first overall, I don't believe. And Fran Tarkenton, I don't think he was first overall.
No.
But that's a long time ago.
I just watched, and I've noticed this, HBO has been doing this, and I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. They've been, I don't even know what they are, or if there's a, if it's called, you know, they're doing like documentaries, and I just watched one on Terry Bradshaw. I think it was called Going Deep or something like that. I don't know if you guys have seen this or not. They did one on Kareem. I watched it both over the weekend. They did one on Kareem that was outstanding. And another one on Terry Bradshaw that was outstanding. And it's on HBO. And it talks about, you know, how Terry Bradshaw, you know, for everybody, you know, we talk about things going, you know, a certain way. Like, everything has gone Joe Burrow's way, right? But what about the quarterbacks where it like Terry Bradshaw, they were ready to, they wanted to run him out of town, man. It was not smooth early on. It was far from it. And his relationship with Chuck Knoll, as we know, was not good. You know, Terry talks a lot about, you know, how immature he was, how he wasn't ready at times for that stage. Chuck Knoll pushed him to be uncomfortable. He didn't like Chuck because he made him really, really, really uncomfortable. And he's like, because, you know, he wasn't his type of coach, and he wasn't his type of quarterback, right? He wanted a business-like, serious guy. Terry Bradshaw is not that, as we know. He's a guy who has personality. But it was a really – if you get a chance, check it out. It's really good. Like I said, I don't know what they're calling him. I don't know if – I don't know where this came from. But I've really noticed lately HBO has been doing the documentaries on the musicians and – now athletes, sports athletes, and the Kareem one was really good too, really good.
I'll have to check that out.
Basically, the series against the Celtics where he had an awful, awful game, start to the series, and it was like, you know, what does everybody do? This is pre-social media. You know that would be the case today. He's old, he's done, right? Like this guy is, he's washed up. He's done. And, of course, what do you think? How does he respond to that? He comes out there and tears up the rest of the series, and the Lakers go on to win the NBA championship. It was pretty interesting. So if you get a chance, check out those two on HBO.
I will.
Willie, why don't you tell everybody about Lee Company?
Well, I already did. Do I need to do it again?
You do it again. Let's hear it again. Just kidding. All right, we'll come back and continue the discussion on the other side as you listen to the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We talked earlier about the Rams not having a first-round pick since 2016. So they are a franchise that believes in just going for it. They don't have another first-round pick until 2024. For all the people that are like, who cares about assets? Well, Elijah went in there and dug out their draft picks, because they've given up a lot of draft picks. So how have they done with the draft? Or is this two trips to the Super Bowl in 5 years just because they've acquired Jalen Ramsey, Matthew Stafford, Von Miller, Sony Michel, Odell Beckham Jr.? I mean, and I know Odell was just they picked up, right? He was released. But I'm like all these big name ads that they've traded for. Who else did I – now, leave anybody else out. I feel like there's been so many. But Elijah was looking at kind of their draft picks since they've decided when they gave up the Titans. They gave the Titans the number one overall pick, right, in which the Titans then traded down, then traded back up to draft Jack Conklin. But when they had the number one overall pick, they traded it away. They traded to get Jared Goff. So with that being said, What did it look like when you looked up some of their draft picks, Elijah?
So this is all since 2016, which of course is that last was that.
That's the last time they had a first round pick.
Jared Goff.
Right. No, I know. It's just I'm trying to.
How about that?
Like when I heard you say it a few minutes ago, I'm like, that can't be right. Like that's just. And they won't have another one until 2024. So they're gonna go 8 seasons without a first round pick.
Yeah. Correct.
Sheesh.
They have sold all the first rounders for all these veterans that Darren alluded to. And in the meantime, what they've done with their draft is a couple of guys that were notable players that are no longer there, like John Johnson, who's now in Cleveland, solid defensive back in the third round. Your boy Josh Reynolds was a fourth rounder in 2017, but the most important player in that one was Cooper Kupp. He was a third round draft pick that season, along with John Franklin Myers out of Stephen F. Austin, a fourth round defensive end who still gets a lot of play on this team today. Micah Kizer, a linebacker, fifth rounder. Brian Allen, a fourth rounder, who's still their center right now. David Edwards, who's played multiple seasons as the primary starter at tackle. Greg Gaines in the fourth round, who's also
important player.
Yeah, spent many years at a defensive tackle since then. David Long Jr., not to be confused with the Titans, David Long Jr., but they spent a third rounder on David Long Jr., cornerback from Michigan, who had a pick six in the playoff game against the Cardinals. And I think he's the one who picked off Brady to end the half in the divisional round game. But he's had a really good year, too. And then, of course, Darrell Henderson in the third round, Cam Akers in the second round for running back just a couple of years ago. And they got Jordan Fuller, who has been one of the primary starters at safety. They got him in the sixth round 2 years ago as well. And then, of course, Van Jefferson in the second round just last year. So those are the most notable players that the Rams have taken in the draft since, well, I guess non-first rounders since they took Jared Goff.
So they got some useful mileage out of some mid-round picks, some good steady players, which would be important. So they haven't whiffed. So it's an interesting model. The question everybody's asking is, will more teams be bolder with going for it like this?
Well,
seeing the success. I mean, it's a copycat kind of thing that happens a lot.
It's the Madden philosophy. It's like you're playing the video game. And I mean, I was telling you during the break that, you know, I was playing this last night and I'm a few seasons ahead and I traded Ryan Tannehill to the Steelers for a second round pick, which that's not going to happen. Like that's just
well,
not
like when you do that. I don't play Madden. Is there a salary cap in Madden?
Yes.
So how did you do that? Like
you
did
play you, the cap or
did you play did you pay dead cap space when you
yeah,
do
I
that?
Mean you get hit with that or you can turn the cap off. I mean however you want to do it. But like
but, you, but when it. You did that, you played with dead cap. You
yes.
Is I it was it his current contract?
Mm-hmm. It was the last year of the contract, so it wasn't I didn't have to eat as much.
So it's not the current contract.
Yeah, yeah, under, yeah. Well, no, it is, but it's at the end of it. Like I'm a few seasons ahead of now.
Oh, you've gone in a time machine and gone to the future?
Yes.
Well, I don't understand this world.
Well, I've just played through the seasons.
How did we do next season?
Well, the Titans defeated the Bengals in the divisional round.
This coming season?
No, next season.
2 years from now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Then. When?
I need to introduce
now?
You to a show
no,
called Dark.
Now is then.
On,
then is now.
On Netflix. Okay, then that will make perfect sense.
I feel like you we were having the space balls, though. wait, is this now? No, that was then. Wait,
right.
What? No. So.
But then is now.
But then is now. That's what this felt like.
Who?
Only one man will give me the raspberry. Lone Star.
So you traded him to Pittsburgh for a second round pick.
Yes, and as I also told Willie, I went and looked at their roster after I made the trade. Guess who his backup is?
Dobbs.
Marcus Mariota.
Oh.
The band is back together in Pittsburgh.
Did somebody else did that trade? How is he on their roster?
I guess, well, again, this is two seasons ahead of where we are now. And so they signed him as a free agent, I guess. That's what it was.
Okay.
Is there an actual human running the Steelers, or this
no,
is just you can do
computer.
Anything you want?
It's
Chase
the
is the only human involved
but,
in all this.
But what the reason I bring this up is the Rams have basically they've traded away all their draft capital to get these big stars that are established that can help them win now, which is it's what you do on Madden. You go and you start a franchise, and you're like, all right, well, I'm going to go get Odell Beckham and have Odell Beckham on my team. I'm going to go get DK Metcalf. I'm going to go, you know, just go and get all these guys, which I actually did sign DK Metcalf. So I have the Ole Miss guys back together. So that's good. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of what they've done. Now, will it pay off? If they win on Sunday, two Super Bowl appearances in that time span with a championship, then every move they have made, it's like, all right, it pays off because you accomplished the goal.
Well, there's no way 2 years from now you could ever get a second-round pick for Ryan Tannehill.
No.
No chance.
No,
what,
not at all.
36 years old? No chance.
I fleeced the Steelers.
That's
why their GM had to leave.
Yeah, which I guess they're interviewing Lewis Riddick.
Yeah, they are. They are. I don't understand this. Their GM's leaving after the draft. Why not just go now and let the new guy come in and do the draft.
Maybe he's like, I've got all this sweat equity in. Can you just let me do the draft? I don't know.
Sabotage,
well, then the Ravens did that when Ozzie retired. Like, he did the draft, and then what's his name took over.
I know this is not going to surprise anybody, but they don't start doing the draft now. Like it's a year-round process. I mean,
right.
This is a long, long ordeal. So Probably it's just a matter of, hey, I've got all this time invested in. Can you let me finish this out? You know, I don't want to bounce in February with all this work we've put in. So that would be my guess. I mean, when you look at what the Rams did, I mean, they had the equivalent of a Derrick Henry draft pick, right? A franchise changer in Cooper Kupp. I mean, Cooper Kupp, you know, changed a lot this year. I mean, he's been a really good receiver, but now he is, like, taking it to beyond just a really good receiver. I mean, he's now a great receiver. I mean,
that's probably because of the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That has a lot to do with it.
He had huge numbers last year. They use him. He's such a unique way. Like, I don't think you necessarily have to have this big arm quarterback to bring out the best in Kupp. It's very unique the way they set him up, but it is a good fit. There's no question.
What was the? But, let's see. So last year he had 1,000 more yards this year than he did last year. And granted, he played in 15 games last year, but he had 974 yards in 2020, and then...
Is that all he had last year? How many games did he play?
15. He started 12. Wow. He wasn't really a starter, but he played...
Was he not injured some?
He played games. Robert Woods had a big year last year.
Yeah.
That stuns me.
2019, he had 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns. Then he had 974 and 3 touchdowns, and then... 1947 and 16 touches this year.
Good grief.
But that's just crazy. He had 1,000 more yards than he was almost a 1,000-yard receiver last year.
Wow. I mean, you can't ignore the quarterback change with that as much as I'd like to. Wow.
I mean, when you really think about it, so they've been able to get away with no first-round picks. And, you know, as much as – and I get it. There's the other side of, well, look at all these first-round picks that are in the league that are fantastic and very impactful. I get it. First-round picks are studs all over – the league is littered with them. But here, the last two first-round picks to this point, we know one is never going to have any impact, and who knows what Caleb Farley is going to be. We don't know. The first-round picks, really, even with all the success of John Robinson as the GM – it's not because of first-round picks. Remember, that same draft, he traded back up to get Jack Conklin. Jack Conklin played here for, they didn't re-up, so he didn't see the second contract here. He left. We believe that's about to happen to Rashawn Evans, right? Now, he's got a home run with Jeffrey Simmons. But it's not
Corey
like
Davis.
They're success. Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, two first-round picks, bye-bye. Didn't see a second contract, and really we're not – impactful. They were not incredibly impactful. They were okay. They weren't first-round picks. They didn't live up to the first-round pick, especially Corey Davis, as 5 overall. So their success hasn't been tied to that. Isn't that – I mean, that, like I said, I'm not trying to say who needs first-round picks, but with that being said, the Rams have gone to Super Bowl now twice without having first-round picks. And the Titans, with all their success under Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, which they've been nothing but a playoff team, which was not the case in this market, it has really nothing to do with their first-round picks. Other than Jeffrey Simmons, yes, he is impactful, and he certainly plays a big part in this. But overall, I mean, John Robinson's been here, what, 6 years?
Yep.
This will be going into the 7th offseason, is that right?
Yeah, 2017 was his first season because Vrabel came in 2018. He had one season with Malarkey.
Yeah, he has 6 straight winning seasons since he took over.
Yep.
But has it really been tied to the first-round picks?
No, I mean, Corey Davis, Adoree Jackson, Rashawn Evans, Jeff.
Jack Conklin.
Other than Simmons.
Isaiah Wilson, total waste. And who knows what Caleb Farley's going to
do. Oh, that's right, 2016. Yeah, that draft. So, yeah, Conklin. I mean, his most successful first rounder has by far been Jeffrey Simmons.
Who's
second? Yeah, it's not even close.
Conklin
and Corey Davis, I would say,
yeah,
were solid.
Yeah, I won't complete. The thing
they
with
were
Corey,
contributors. They weren't stars, but they were key contributors.
The thing with Corey Davis that I think is – is fair, and also you have to separate yourself from is he wasn't a fifth overall pick. He didn't live up to the fifth overall pick, but he was a good player.
Right. I would say Rashawn Evans is similar in that he was a good solid player, but not a star.
Right.
But you need a lot of good solid players.
But
whether you pick him in the first round or the fifth round.
The second round's been his money round. Because you got Henry, obviously, Harold Landry, AJ Brown, Christian Fulton. You know, that's been to me a really good round for him.
I think all this to say there's a lot of different ways to win. Would you rather stockpile a lot of draft picks like some teams do, like Herschel Walker, the famous Herschel Walker trade that reinvigorated the Cowboys and built a dynasty? Mm-hmm. You can do it that way. And the Rams are proven that if you're shrewd, you can trade first-round picks, and if you get the right guys in the right spot and still hit on some lower picks, you can build a really good team too. I think it also comes down to how much do you want to give yourself a chance every year? Because they're going to have to pay the piper for the way they've done it here for the Rams.
We'll come back, put a bow on Tuesday's edition of Darren Dunnick and Chase next. Tomorrow night during the 6 o'clock hour, Smashville Live. Yes, right here on these airwaves. Tomorrow night's special guest will be?
The Dallas Stars.
Vern Fiddler. And
does anyone look at the program grid I send out? Like, I mean,
Dan Hamhuis. Dan Hamhuis and Vern Fiddler.
Rich Peverly?
Rich Peverly. That's a good one. Yeah. There you go. If Smashville Live was happening tomorrow,
that's who
it
you
would
might
be
have
brought
on.
To you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue.
It's very icy up here today, very windy.
I have a jacket on. I've kept the jacket on today
it's just,
because I felt the breeze.
It's very breezy, but that made me laugh. The Dallas Stars will be the guests
They'll
tomorrow
be the guest.
On Smashville.
We'll be talking hockey. It'll just be a live
true.
Action. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's actually very, very true. Oh, boy.
Okay.
On to Winnipeg. Oh, wait a minute. Tonight, by the way, Joe Burrow, pretty cool little stat. We were doing this in our group text. Joe Burrow, he would be the first, is that right? The first ever to do that?
He would be the first quarterback to win the Triple Crown, the Heisman, the National Championship, and the Super Bowl. There are two quarterbacks that have won a National Championship and a Super Bowl.
A National Championship and a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Namath.
There are two quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's weird because the National Championship back in the day was, it could be split.
Right,
it was
this by Wheaties?
Yeah.
I should say only two quarterbacks have ever claimed both a college football national title and Super Bowl win. You said Namath. Joe Namath is correct. That is one of them.
Okay.
There's a funny thing here, but Namath is one.
Modern or old?
Modern. I mean, it's a name you know. It's a name you know very well. But not the last.
Trent Dilfer didn't win one at Fresno State, did he?
He did not.
Didn't win the Natty.
No, think older. Think 80s.
Well, it wouldn't be Jim McMahon. It wouldn't
be Joe
Phil
win one at Notre Dame?
Well, Joe Montana.
Well, but that's another one. That wasn't clear cut, but I guess you could say.
But it's why it's claimed. So if Burrow does it, they're all named Joe.
The magazine was called The Golden Domer, so I don't know. That's the one who crowned it. I mean, I could see where that would be a little controversial. Yeah.
Okay, speaking of Joes, let's end with this. See how quick you can get this. I got quizzed on this last night, and I got it. It took me a while, though. I didn't cheat, but it took me I may have run out of time on a game show. Let's put it that way. Tom Brady is the only Tom to quarterback a team in the Super Bowl, but he's been there so many times. That's the most common name of a starting quarterback. I believe the number is there are seven Joes that have been there. That's the second
seven
most common.
Joes.
In the Super Bowl.
Burrow and Montana.
Yep, so
Joes.
Those are two.
Namath.
Yeah. Namath is three.
Namath is three.
It gets a little tougher.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Theismann.
Flacco.
Yeah.
Boom, Flacco, boom. Yep.
Flacco, Theismann.
There you go. All we need is one more. Montana, Burrow, Namath, Flacco, Theismann.
Joe.
You want, this is the toughest one.
This is the toughest one.
Go way, way back.
Go way back.
Vikings before Fran Tarkenton.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Oh, geez. When they lost to the Steelers in
New
Orleans?
Nope. Fran Tarkenton was the quarterback there.
You gotta
when they lost to Hank Stram, Len Dawson, and the Chiefs.
Oh, good Lord.
So like Super Bowl four?
Super Bowl four.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Joe Capp.
Joe Webb.
Joe Capp. K-A-P-P. Yeah. Joe Capp.
Yeah, I would have.
That's my next guess. Not really. All right, good stuff.
Joe Cool.
Use that as your Super Bowl party if you'd like.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. That'll do it for our show here on this Tuesday. Have a great rest of your day. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.